Yes, yes, y'all. That's a little old school music from the classic Konami video game from the NES, Ice Hockey. We need a theme song.
A lot of our listeners don't even know what NES stands for. They've never played it. I can't imagine our youth hockey players have any idea what NES means or just how amazing that game was.
Yeah, it's the Nintendo Entertainment System, buddy. You got three characters, skinny, medium, and fat, and the teams were all the nations. One of the best video games of all time, for sure. But enough about that. Let's jump in. Back like we never left. Before we jump into it, Stevie, I got a couple quick ad reads from our boys that are helping produce the show. First off, Lactigo. Today's episode is brought to you by Lactigo, trusted by athletes around the world, from beer leaguers like me to the pros like Stevie. Lactigo is a fast-acting topical gel that helps reduce muscle fatigue and soreness so you can recover quicker and perform at your best. No more excuses, no more sluggish legs, just better hockey. Try it today, feel the difference. Visit lactigo.com, code OLEXI, and take your game to the next level. You'll get 10% off on that. Also, this episode is powered by HealthQuest Physical Therapy. Whether you're rehabbing from an injury, looking to improve mobility, or just want to keep your body moving the way it should, HealthQuest's expert team is here for you. With locations all across Michigan, they make it easy to get care close to home. Don't wait until the pain sidelines you. Visit healthquestpt.com and get back in the game.
Couple clicks for Lactigo and HealthQuest.
I'm saying, man, and I was a non-believer at first, but I'm using it all the time. Lactigo is my stuff, man. Specifically, buddy, today I need to use it. I just got back from a personal trainer session with my new trainer, Maddie Calcaterra. I'm still delirious, buddy. He worked me so hard, I puked. Like, no kidding. I puked. It was awful.
I saw videos. Another plug for Lactico got Bam Bam Batinger through a 5K.
Many 5Ks, my friend. Actually, last summer I got back into it. I 7 years ago now or so, I was chasing a girl. Okay. It's tale as old as time. And she was really into running. And I signed up for a half marathon just to prove that I could. And after that, I never ran again. So last summer I tried to get back into it. So the Lactico seriously helped. I think I'm going to need some HealthQuest PT coming up, though, for sure. So what's up with you, buddy?
What have I been doing? Where do you want me to start, Bam Bam? How long is this episode? Because as you can tell, I am on the road. I'm pretending to be a police officer right now. I have the laptop open. Everybody thinks I'm taking notes, so they're slowing down when they pass me. I'm just kidding, everybody at home. I'm pulled over. I am not driving. But currently, we are down in Miami for 10 days, and we're down here taking care of some business. We head up back to our home in Florida. And then we head out to Vegas for 2 months. So that's what's going on with me, taking care of the twins. My wife's rocking and rolling.
What are you doing down in Miami?
We are down here in Miami for 10 days. The wife is recording some new music with some crazy talented artists. So we're definitely excited for her to get back into the music mix.
Buddy, she hopped on live Instagram or did an IG live the other day, and she was playing one of the tracks, Strip or Stripped or something along those lines. Absolute fire. Loved it. It was great. We need a Brooke Hogan theme song for the 61 Soul podcast. Really drive engage.
You may have to text her and prime the pump a little bit. But that would be pretty incredible if my wife made a theme song for us. But that could go any different direction.
I can't go more than a couple different web pages before seeing you and Brooke pop up lately, buddy. So I know you were at, and I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but you were at a movie premiere last week.
Yes, we were actually at the premiere of Video Killed the Radio Star, a very, very clever title for Bubba the Love Sponge. Not understanding Bubba's story before I came into the picture, it was a great documentary to talk about his backstory from a young kid growing up in Warsaw, Indiana, right near Fort Wayne, for all you Fort Wayne comets out there, and growing from there as a young kid through radio, and it took him to Tampa, and that's, you know, where he still resides today, becoming neck and neck with Howard Stern as one of the biggest shock jocks worldwide. It was really incredible. Part of the story is from his childhood on up, and then in a couple situations that took place, but ultimately just how flawed our justice system is. And that's the moral of the documentary, which is it's really eye-opening when you fight against power, just how much control they really have. So it was really, really cool. The premiere was amazing. The energy was like something I've never felt before, which seems crazy after playing 14 years of professional hockey. The energy in the auditorium and during the viewing of the documentary was incredible, and so many amazing humans there, all for the same reason. And as you learn Bubba's story through his documentary, you realize that a lot of the things that came his way were just because he was chasing the truth and wanted people to be accountable for what they did. And the people that he often went against were people of power in the city that he lived. So it was a great documentary. I recommend everybody go right now. Actually, it's 8:30. I believe it ends today, but you can save $5 if you go to the Apple Store and pre-save, pre-purchase the documentary "Video Killed the Radio Star: The Story of the Bubba the Love Sponge."
And I got to tell you, it was neat to see because Bubba was one of my radio guys. For those of you who don't know, I was a radio DJ for a number of years. Growing up, I was always really into radio as a media form, as an art form. Bubba worked on a station, heritage station. It was called the Power Pig. It was in Tampa, UFLZ, just a very well-known station personality nationwide. I would even say that he was above Howard Stern for a number of years as well. So, you know, Bubba, I know you're listening. I just want to say what's up, buddy. I can't wait to meet you. And just know that I was one of the last old school radio guys to come through one of his schools. And yeah, the Power Pig forever, man. Glad to see you and Brooke there. You both looked great.
Well, thank you. And I think the strength my wife has shown since I've met her, one of the many things that I love about her is just how she stands up for what's right and the truth. And ultimately, Bubba, she refers to him as Uncle Bubba. She talked about him for a number of years before they were able to reconnect. And that's exactly what he stands for. It's the truth and what's right. And both of them share that in their both Tauruses, which is, you know, if anybody's into those signs, we know how they operate. But, you know, at all costs, they just want the truth and accountability. And I think it was incredible to witness that through the documentary. I got a very, very high level look at, you know, just the whole background in his career. It's crazy to call him Uncle Bubba and to know just what he's done in the radio space. It's awesome.
Absolutely, man. You must be attracted to Tauruses too, because you got another one that you're talking to right now.
I never would have guessed by knowing you, Bam Bam, that you were a Taurus, but yes, you are very, very much like them. In the most incredible people I've met in my life. Actually, after the premiere, I was in my feels, but I'm just so proud of Bubba and knowing him, the things he faced and the things that he went through. 89.9% of the people in this world would have felt sorry for themselves and packed it up. And a lot of people probably would have given up in the circumstances and situations that he was.
You start getting hit with lawsuits.
And he tightened his boots up and he reinvented himself in the digital space now. So it's moved away from radio to digital. And he has an amazing team, an absolutely incredible team. So that was another part of the documentary premiere, was meeting the people who believed in him when the financial may have not been there. These people believed in Bubba as a person and what he was doing, and helped him rebuild what he once had.
Bubba, all the best to you. All the best to the show, to the Bubba Army. Yeah, looking forward to getting together.
Shout
here.
Out Bubba Army. I can tell you, the Bubba Army are the most loyal, truest, most passionate people I've ever met in my life. And I've played on a lot of teams. Anybody can check my hockey DB if you have about 2 or 3 hours in your spare time. That Bubba Army is one of the most incredible teams I've ever been a part of. That's for sure.
Yeah, you played on a lot of teams, from new IHL in Port Huron all the way up to the NHL, winning a Stanley Cup in 2016. There's all kinds of teams and stories I'm sure that you have. And I can't wait to unlock some of them that you've maybe buried in the recesses of your mind. One thing I'm definitely interested in, it's September. Rookie camps are happening. I think they just started yesterday. Training camps are going to be opening soon. Just the difference that you saw from your rookie year all the way up until the end, the difference in training and the difference in preparation for guys when they're coming out of the summer. I know the old school model was you're just not putting your skates on all summer long, to where now guys are skating 3, 4, 5 times a week and their trainers are having to pull them back. Do you remember your first training camp? What was that like?
My first training camp. I do remember my first training camp. My first training camp I ever attended was actually the Rockford Ice Hogs in the American Hockey League. It was an incredible experience. I never thought that I would ever be in the American Hockey League or a camp. And that's kind of the token what they do is when you're a low level or a mid-tier guy, they'll throw you, you know, if they're trying to get you to sign with their East Coast League club, they'll throw you a an AHL invite to camp. So I went there as kind of a nobody, and nobody knew me. I was, you know, college was a less than favorable situation for me. And I went to Rockford, and I played probably arguably some of the best hockey of my career, just going in there, you know, no expectations and just enjoying the moment. And I played incredible. And, you know, I didn't know at the time, but it doesn't matter how you play. I still got the call into the office, and they did tell me, we didn't know who you were. You played incredible. You will play games in the American League this year, even if it's not with us. And so they sent me down to Toledo, and true to hockey form, they told me I'd play American League games that year. And I got cut from Toledo a month later, and then got cut again, and found my way out to Idaho.
Yeah. So how does that work when you're signing with an ECHL team? You're not drafted. How does that work? Because you're saying, you know, Rockford and Toledo, I don't believe that they're affiliated with one another, right?
At the time they were. So at the time it was Toledo's first year, and they were double affiliation with Grand Rapids and Rockford, so Chicago and Detroit Red Wings. So I played into me going to Toledo and getting cut a month into the season too. When you have a double affiliation, generally they'll send two D-men down from each organization. So that only leaves two to three spots. And there was 14 guys on the same contract as me at the time. I'll tell you how I got on the ice, Mike. I fought a guy 6'7", 245 in training camp for Toledo. And then I got out of the box in my first shift out of the box. Another guy two-handed my D partner, and I grabbed him and fought him. And so I had two fights and two shifts. I didn't realize the one guy was 6'7", 245. I knew he probably knew what he was doing, from Slovakia. And then the other guy, I didn't realize that he was a really, really tough character either. But I was looking to stand out. I was looking to move from 14 to 7, and it worked.
We always hear stories about the VO2 max and guys having like dead legs before they get going. Do you remember your fitness test? You're a pretty fit guy. You've always had to be in great shape to get to where you wanted to be. What were some of those fitness tests like that you had to rock out?
I was always a guy. Being a borderline guy, the summer is so important for you, right? You're walking in and the microscope is on you. And the unfortunate thing with working out and in body and the physical testing, it's like golf. You can always be better, right? You can always work to a lower body fat. You can always try to increase your VO2. You can always try to increase your pull-ups, your bench press. So the entire summer is not enjoyable for a borderline guy. It's the most stressful time of the year, that in the first 2 weeks of camp. So it was always a time that I took very, very serious. And then it leads into the testing. And I've had some, I've lucked out in my career. I kind of fast-tracked. I didn't go to any camps or anything like that. I was kind of a nobody. So I wasn't going to rookie camps or developmental camps. Or, you know, the first time I walked into an NHL locker room was for my first NHL game. So I didn't even know what a camp was. But over the years, I've had some crazy testing. The hardest test I've ever had was the Barry Trotz skate test. It was Barry Trotz's first year in Washington, and I stayed the summer there, and I wanted to give myself the best chance to succeed. And this is something I did throughout my career, is I used to go where if I signed in Washington or Pittsburgh, I would always go there, and I'd stay there for a couple months and work out with their trainers, because if I don't test well, that's now on them, not me. So that was always my hack to the system. So I was staying in Washington, working out with their trainers for the entire summer. And there was rumors. They told us what the skate test was going to be. We had an inside scoop. And then there was rumors that we weren't going to do it. So first day of camp, I'm in the first group. And this practice was the hardest hour and a half I've ever, and I'm pacing myself a little bit, but we're doing drills where it's like a one-on-one battle at one end, sprint down to the other end, and then it's another one-on-one battle. And this is for like 25, 30 second battles. This isn't like a quick whistle. So as I'm feeling out this practice, I'm like, all right, I have to pace myself, because if we have this skate test, but there was rumors we weren't going to do the skate test. So I'm like, this practice is way too hard. There's no way we're doing a skate test after this. So I really amp it up the last half of practice. I'm going to the wall, right? Trying to really do anything I can. He blows the whistle and pulls us in, and he says, all right, boys, defense, you're out on the other rink for the skate test. I was a defenseman. We were the first group. We walked across the rink to the other one. And this skate test was goal line to goal line, back. So it was 2.5 down and back. So it was down, back through the red line. In the first one had to be in under 28 seconds. And then everything 28 or 38 seconds. I can't remember exactly. I think it was 38 seconds. Had to be under 38. And then the rest of them had to be under 40. Five times. So I'm like, oh man, I'm not a great skater. I'm not overly fast. Like I just make it work. First one I'm humping, I make it in like 37 seconds. I'm like, all right. And I can recover quick. That was part of my game. So second one I go down. All right. So he tells us, all right, third one, if you make it in under 40, you're good. If you don't, you have to do all five. Oh boy. Boy. They blow the whistle. My first down, my legs locked up like a car with no motor oil. And I did not make it. So I did not make it. So it was me. There's a guy named Patrick Way and a couple other guys. I actually think John Carlson was one of them as well. We had to do five. So on the fifth one, they blew the whistle. And I'll never forget this. I'm giving everything I have, and I can't even move my legs. It's the worst pain I've ever been in my life. And then I hear, we blew the whistle, and I turn around, and Patrick Way was stuck on the goal line. He literally couldn't move his legs. That's probably the hardest skate test I've ever had. So we're all, I mean, guys are puking on the bench, everybody's going crazy. So then the forwards come out and they're going, and there's a guy, Stan Galiev. He was part of the Washington organization, Russian guy. On the third one, he's going now. His group's going. On the third one, his legs lock up and he stiff legs, goes feet first into the boards. And we're just watching this, knowing that ours is over. But just watching guys in so much pain was probably the hardest testing I've ever had. Other than that, I feel like I was really kind of fortunate. One of the highlights of my career is one of my years in Pittsburgh, I finished third in the bike test, which out of the athletes in that organization was an accomplishment. I wasn't a big bike guy. And in juniors, when I was playing in Traverse City, our coach was Mike Stapleton, who's now the assistant GM of Anaheim. And he's a very, very close friend of mine and probably my biggest inspiration and mentor in hockey. But I was riding the bike when I was playing in juniors, and he comes up to me and he goes, you know what, Stevie, those seats don't get any more comfortable no matter what level you're at. And so I was never a big bike guy, and that kind of stuck with me for a while. But finishing third in the bike test with Pittsburgh was an accomplishment for me in the testing thing. Pittsburgh was the first place that I played where they actually had the leaders posted on the screens throughout the locker room. They had the leaders of each category or event, whatever, and then like an overall leader. So it was pretty neat. And then I was riding bike next to Phil that day, though. Phil Kessel, for all you keeping score at home. So he had a team full of guys around him cheering him on, and maybe I fed off that energy watching those revolutions next to me.
I got pretty into the off-season training this year too, you know.
Bam Bam, I would love to tell you I've been to a couple workouts with you, but I haven't. But everybody's watching at home. And listen, I'm saying this on the record. You are an inspiration to many with the work that you're putting in. I love your post. Obviously, you have a great...
May have lost Steve there, but that's okay. I'm not going to stop recording. I'm going to keep talking because what he said was that I've been an inspiration to all, and I would agree with that. You know what I'm saying? So thank you to Foundry 13. The owner, Chris Smith, has gotten me in some incredible shape. I've been working my tail off. She is, and they are, Foundry 13, a sponsor of the Urban Hockey Foundation. That's our 501c3 nonprofit. Check us out. All of these workouts over the summer wouldn't be possible without Lactigo. Thank you to Lactigo, our show sponsor. Remember to go to Lactigo.com, trusted by athletes around the world, from beer leaguers to the pros.
I got booted.
You back in, Stevie?
I'm back in. Welcome back. So shout out Foundry for all the work you're putting in with my man, Mike. I know he loves going there. It's awesome to watch. And I love the community that they've built and everybody helping everybody, which is, it's very, very important when you're going through those physical challenges.
Thank you to HealthQuest PT for sponsoring today's episode. If you're feeling sore, check out HealthQuestPT.com for the nearest location. Don't wait until the pain sidelines you. Get over there. They'll get you all straightened up with locations all over Michigan.